If you're a parent at some southern suburb schools, you might have received a very worrying email in the last couple of days alerting you to the fact that a convicted paedophile has been spotted lurking around at least one local school, apparently watching sports activities, taking photographs of the participants. This is someone who has served time in prison for child molestation, who is listed on the sex offenders registry, which means there are no circumstances in which he should be approaching or working with minors. And despite this, he has also allegedly approached several families offering extra art lessons to their boys. At least two schools we know of alerting parents to his presence in the last couple of days and asking them to be vigilant and to report any such approaches to a local police officer who is investigating the case. Now, that officer is Lieutenant Colonel R.C. Brummer, who will chat to us in just a moment about this case, and will then just broaden the conversation to bring in family advocate Janine Boltman for a greater understanding of what the Sexual Offenders Registry is, what it means in practice for local communities, etc. I asked the question at the start of the show, do you think it is a document which should be accessible to anybody who wants to view it? I've had one WhatsApp already saying we should all be allowed to see who is on that register, for it is we, the public at large, who are potential victims of these people. There are, of course, concerns about the ramifications for potential vigilante action. There are all sorts of questions that need to be discussed in this half hour. So if you want to join in, we welcome your calls on 021-446-0567, as well as voice notes to 072-567-1567. Let's start with Lieutenant Colonel Ruan Charles Brummer, who is the police officer whose name is mentioned in the circular that the schools have sent out. Thank you so much for being prepared to chat to me this afternoon, and welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
How and when did you become aware of this individual's alleged activities?
We received about a week and a half ago, we received information that convicted sex offender is possibly active again in the southern suburbs. So after making some inquiries, we found out that it was this person that was convicted previously. He was released from prison in 2009. He spent some time on probation, but he's off that probation period now. So he's basically a free man.
Aha. That changes the legal perspective quite significantly, doesn't it? Because if he was still on parole, for et cetera, on probation, there would have been limitations on what he is and isn't allowed to do. Yeah. Having served his sentence, is he allowed to go back into the world and work in any facility, even if it is close to children?
We have not been able to confirm. The information is that his name is appearing in the Sexual Offenders Register. So, but we have not been able to confirm that fact. But if his name does appear there, and then he's not allowed to work with children or where children congregate. And in any case, the law, the Sexual Offences Act, clearly states that if you are convicted of a sexual offence with the children, then you are not allowed to work with children again.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm mindful of the fact that this is an active investigation, that there are some limitations on how much you can and cannot say on air. So I'm going to give it over to you to tell us a little bit more about the direction that this investigation has taken, what sort of incidents and interactions you've had with this man so far. What can you tell us?
All right. So this person is living in the southern suburbs in the Kenilworth area. And what we've discovered so far is that he's made contact with several boys and several families from Rondebosch Boys High School. He's offering art classes to the boys, as well as extramural art classes, basically, and then also house-sitting services for the families.
Okay.
So this is basically the same modus operandi that he had with his previous cases. So what we've done is I've gone to the school, I've spoken to Mr. Simpson, who is the headmaster at Rondebosch Boys High. I said to him, look, the parents need to know about this man. We don't necessarily have to mention his name. And in fact, in the circular that went out to the parents, this person's name is not mentioned.
Correct.
But the parents are made alert of this person and what he's offering. In fact, I've just been told this morning now, that he was spotted again at the school on Saturday during a cricket match, taking photographs of the boys, and then he was politely escorted off the premises and told not to return. So he's definitely very, very active in that area.
politely escorted off the premises. I would imagine there are many parents listening to this, Lieutenant Colonel, going that he should be politely escorted to the nearest jail cell if he is so clearly seeming to be set back on the same path which previously led him to a prison cell. It's a difficult one here. If he has served his time and the law would say he's paid his debt to society, he has rights, he has an entitlement to a certain degree of privacy. That, of course, has to be balanced with the rights of the community, which doesn't want to see children fall victim should he be falling back into the same old habits as before. How do you, as police officers, walk the line of balancing those two?
Well, it's a very difficult situation. So far, we have had no formal complaints of any sexual misconduct. So there's no case docket open. We've opened an inquiry, which is the same as a case docket, but we obviously can't go to court with an inquiry. Mm-hmm. So far, we have had no formal complaints of sexual misconduct, which is a good thing. But I'm very, very concerned. He's exhibiting the same kind of modus operandi that he did before, and I'm very concerned that he'll start attempting to groom boys, young boys again, in an attempt to reoffend. What he's done for the past decade is anyone's guess. No one's been watching him, so I really don't know what he's been up to.
Yeah.
So that is why we decided to investigate his conduct and his circumstances and see what he's been up to and try and find out if there's any person that he's, or any boy that he's made contact with regards to a possible complaint.
So if anybody listening to this is going, I've had contact with this person, he's approached my son, he's approached our family, I do want to flag it. Are you the person they need to reach out to?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and how do they do that?
All right, I do have Mr. Simpson's got my contact details, my email address, as well as my telephone number. I can give that on the air if you like.
If you'd like to share the email address, I also have those details on file, so if anybody wants to contact me, I'll gladly pass them along. But maybe to share your email address, if you would.
Okay, my work email address is ELSFCS, that is E for Echo, L for Lima, S for Simpson, and then FCS, the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences Unit, which is, so it's ELSFCS,
at saps.gov.za. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go, to just in terms of alerting our audience of the need to be vigilant?
Well, just once again, be very, very careful. Obviously, anybody that works with children or wants to work with children has to be vetted. If you employ someone, vet the person. Go and check if that person's on the sex offenders register. You absolutely have the right to do that. And of course, the school as well. If it's anybody that the school wants to employ, or anybody that the school wants to use, you know, for extramural activities or whatever, not necessarily employed by the school, go and check up on the person's background. It's really very important to do that.
And better to be safe than sorry. Thank you so much for your time, Lieutenant Colonel Ruan Charles Brummer, speaking to us there about the current case, which has red flags going up around southern suburbs schools. We're going to talk to a family advocate next, and I do want to speak to the issue of where the law sits on naming this person. The Lieutenant Colonel has been very clear about treading cautiously about naming them. I know that the letter that Rondebosch sent out did not name them. I've also been sent a version sent out by the headmaster at Bishop's this morning, which also did not name the individual. However, I'm also aware of the fact that at least one news organization in Cape Town has named them and published their photograph in a newspaper this morning. So perhaps that's where we can start with our next guest, Advocate Janine Boltman, who is a specialist in family law and joins me on the line now. Janine, it's great to have you on the show again, albeit in worrying circumstances. I would hate to think that people's attempt to spread the word, to arm parents with full knowledge and to be cautious, could potentially hamper any kind of criminal case which might need to be brought. Is that a risk of naming the person prematurely? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Papa. Thank you for having me today. Yes, so we are looking at a potential risk, and the challenge with opening the register up to the public is obviously your vigilante justice, as well as the assumption by a particular community, if a crime happens in their particular community, that there's an assumption that particular person may have been the perpetrator. So we're sitting with you sitting with your your rights in terms of being an accused versus children's rights. Mm. That's the difficulty that we are sitting with at the moment. What I would like to just amplify to the listeners is that the challenges which we are faced with when it comes to this list is that the perpetrator can actually have their names removed from the list. Mm. So if the person has been sentenced for a period of 6 months or for a period of 6 to 18 months, they can have their names removed from the National Register. Anything or any conviction over 18 months, you may not, your name cannot be removed from the register. So maybe that is something which the legislature should look at as a whole, is to try and put to try and say, look, if you've perpetrated or if you've committed a crime against a child or particularly a mentally handicapped person, then your name will be on the list forever. It can't be expunged. Mm. The second challenge that we're sitting with is that the employees can vet employees working with children or employers working with children can vet their employees, but they don't vet employees of adult women centers, for example, because women are adults. So they would not vet any perpetrator in respect of adult women centers. So that's another challenge that we are looking at.
That's horrifying. So you're saying somebody could apply to work at a shelter for abused women, for example, and not have to go through this kind of vetting process, that you could potentially be hiring somebody with a history of being a predator on precisely that kind of woman, and the law would not require that to that information to be available to you?
That is correct. And also with the expungement of the criminal record, if the person has been sentenced for 0 to 6 months or 6 to 18 months, their name can be, so they can apply for an expungement of the criminal record, and you wouldn't find their name on the sexual offenders list at all.
That's scary. Take a step back. Janine, let's talk about the purpose of why this registry exists. If I'm understanding correctly, it was set up precisely for this point, that if you are going to be hiring people to work with vulnerable or the children or people with mental disabilities, that you can check that they don't have a history of such abuse. Is that its sole purpose? It's never been intended, has it, as a method of flagging to communities and the public that such people are living amongst them?
So let me just the persons that should be screened is everyone who has access to children, whether it be volunteers, teachers, counselors, gardeners who work on the premises, cooks who work on the premises and they're in contact with children, any administrative staff, churches, NGOs who potentially work directly with children. All of these people need to be vetted and screened. Even if you take creches, if you take a church, for instance, you're looking at you're looking at even having the specified councils of the church together with the priest all vetted, together with Sunday school teachers, you know, so they would all need to be vetted. It is, I would say, it is the onus lies on these organizations, the NGOs, the churches, the creches, all of these, you know, organizations to not just have people work directly with the children and to first screen and vet them before they are placed in contact with the children. We need to start there.
Janine, I mean, I can't not mention the two most recent in a string of horrific murders of children in the Cape area. And the latest two that spring to mind, last week, the loss of Tasnay van Wyk, last month, the loss of Michaela Williams. In both cases, the suspects who have been arrested and charged with those crimes are people who had already served time in prison for sexual offences and had been released back into public on parole. They should have been, and one would assume you must have been, on the sexual offences registry, but until or unless they had applied for a position where they would have been in contact with children, there was nothing to alert the communities that they moved into of that fact. A lot of people feel very angry about that. Looking back on that, saying, what were people like that doing on parole in the first place? Yes. Surely those communities should have had a right to know that a convicted sex offender was living in their midst. How do you balance it? Come back to the same question I asked the police officer before you. I know you've got to balance the rights of those individuals. If the law sees them as having paid their debt to society and completed their sentence, they have a right to go back and live and hopefully live a meaningful life thereafter. But we all know that the level of actual rehabilitation happening in South African prisons is slim to nil. How do you weigh up then the need of those communities and those little girls to be protected from having people like that living alongside them?
Yes, look, the best interest of the child is always of paramount importance, and the high courts, our high courts, have a duty as upper guardians of all children to uphold the best interest of the children. What I want to say is, and if I can appeal to all parents, particularly all family members who are, who are close to children. If in the instance such as the gentleman who is walking around in the southern suburbs around the schools and portraying himself as a potential art teacher, I'm going to request that the parents particularly be more proactive in their duty towards their children. So if you are a person who, if the alleged perpetrator is offering services of art or music lessons, go the extra mile, request that the person gives you the necessary clearance certificates just to have ease of mind, and try and do some investigation on the parent's end as well. The other option which I also think would particularly work is in the instance of extramural activities such as your art classes, one should look at the possibility of having these children service providers be registered. And along with them being registered, you actually have them vetted through the process so that they can become sort of an accredited place where your child can go and perform their extramural activities. What I also want to mention is that I've mentioned all the organizations, the churches, that need to have their staff and everybody else vetted. If they do not do so, they are in contravention of the act and they can be imprisoned. So if I take the example of a priest, the priest of that specific parish needs to ensure that the members or those particularly working with children need to be vetted. If they are not vetted, they can actually be held liable and they can be imprisoned for such action.
The law in question for the person who's asking is this registry was created under the 2007 Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act. So it was created, yes, an act of parliament all back in 2007. It's immensely frustrating. Janine, and I can completely understand where this message is coming from. The SMS from someone signing herself a very angry mom saying, this is ridiculous. This man should be arrested immediately. The abuse of women and children is out of control in this country. And we all feel the same way and the same anger. I felt the same way when I saw that flyer that was sent out over the weekend. But the point is, he hasn't at this point, as far as we know, committed a new offense. He has been convicted, been sentenced, served his time in jail, been released back, completed his probation period, and to all intents and purposes is once again a fully fledged member of society. It's such a difficult position. I hear what the policeman is saying. We can open an inquiry. We can't lay a charge until he's done something that requires us to lay a charge. And of course, we don't want to ever get to the point where he has done something that requires a charge. So it leaves everybody feeling very, very vulnerable, I think, Janine.
Well, in such instances, particularly, if somebody has a criminal record and is on the sex offenders register for a particular crime which he has committed against a child, one should one should actually look at the option of, or one should actually go back to what his bail conditions or what his parole conditions are. So normally when they are released, let's say on bail or on parole, the conditions should actually stipulate that you need to, you are not allowed to be within, let's say, I'm just making an example, 100 meters of children. Obviously, you'd walk past children, so that can't be eliminated. Those instances can't be eliminated. Mm. But if you are hovering and if you are stalking within a period, you actually have the person arrested because he's got a criminal record, and you're actually running through the system, and you then charge him for the particular, for the particular act of actually just being and lurking around children in that particular area.
Right.
So I think it's very important that, again, the spirit of Ubuntu, your child is my child, we be proactive, we identify if something doesn't seem okay, and not just automatically, not just run to the police, but first assess the situation. If something seems out of sort, do contact the police, let them take in the person, let them run them through the system, and not particularly arrest them, because they may not have contravened any act, or they may not have done anything illegal, but call in the person, run the person through the system and see what comes up, and then from there make a judgment call on whether or not this person should be charged.
And at the very least, Janine, doing that puts them on guard that they've been noticed, they are being watched, and that they're not going to get away with it by slipping under the radar this time.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I said my comment was that even if they've not done anything that requires legal action against them or criminal action against them, at the very least that act of reporting it and forcing some kind of looking into it puts that person on guard that they're being watched, that the community is mindful of the fact that they're there.
That is correct. And I just also want to highlight that a person need not necessarily be found guilty of a crime to have their names listed on the register. Your name can be placed on a register via a forum or a court of law. A forum can refer to a tribunal, such as a panel of statutory bodies, such as South African Council for Education, the South African Council for Social Service Professionals, health professional council, social workers, or the victim of abuse. They can all participate in the naming of somebody in respect of the sexual offences list.
We have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Advocate Janine Boltman, on the line. They're a specialist in family law, talking to us about some of the particulars of how the National Register for Sex Offenders functions in South Africa.